Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of NBA Takedown, where we are here to talk about buying and selling some early NBA storylines on this beautiful Monday afternoon. But first, we have to talk about walking boots because of some news that just came out. And because one of our esteemed faculty members here has experience with walking boots, I'll get to him in a moment. First, Jeff, hello, sir. How was your early December weekend?
I mean, it was pretty chill. Can't complain. Not as high impact as Knicks Magic on Sunday. I feel like I woke up this morning and I had a random black and blue on my arm. had the urge to play dodgeball. I don't know why. But yeah, other than that, I'm good.
I dig it. I had a high impact weekend, but I'm going to save that story for a little bit later in the week for the NBA Twitter show. I will just say that I spent part of the weekend in the city seeing the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree.
Oh, nice.
Which never once have I thought of as downtown New York. And apparently that makes me unique from, oh, you didn't see this, Jeff? All right. I got to derail the show for like 30 seconds. Mitchell Robinson sent out an Instagram message or something. Cause he was at, he ran into a woman while he was seeing the tree. And then it was like, he wanted to find this person. So he's like, I was downtown New York this weekend, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, Rockefeller Center is not downtown New York. And it viscerally offended me. But that's,
well, he probably lives in Tarrytown or Westchester, whatever. So anything south of Tarrytown is downtown New York.
But the man has been a New York Knick for 8 years. In eight years, nobody told him, like, this is not downtown. Like, come on. What are we doing here?
He's one of the few people who haven't been converted into like a full New Yorker after being here for past 5 years. That man is still super country.
He's doing the Heisman. He's like actively trying to hold it off, which I respect, which is cool. Listen, you can take the boy out of the country. You cannot take the country out of the boy. Sean with a W. Hello, sir. How are you? And tell us about walking boots, which we just heard that Deuce McBride is in one.
I tore my Achilles 13 years ago, and I, after hobbling around because I did not have health insurance at the time. For 2 weeks, I was put in a cast, and then I was put in a temporary cast, and I was put in a real cast for 4 weeks. And after that, I was in a walking boot for 8 weeks, which honestly, after being in a cast for 4 weeks and getting around New York City on crutches in the summer is one of the worst things you can imagine. So the walking boot was a welcome respite. Yeah. So the walking boot was a welcome respite.
You and my wife should compare stories, because she said being pregnant in New York summertime was the worst experience of her life. I'm not sure which one of you had it worse, but I'm sure it was both.
I've had friends who've been pregnant in New York in the summertime, and they were like, they were miserable. So I empathize.
Well, we hope Deuce McBride is all right and that he's out of the walking boot very soon. I also want to give a shout out to you, Sean, media superstar. Here I am just scrolling over the weekend and I see, what's this, New York Magazine? Sean with a W. How you doing? did you catch this, Jeff?
No.
Sean. Tell.
Oh, you're talking about, yes. Model Man?
Model Man.
Model Man.
Great. Are you going to get that framed for your wall?
Really, really dope.
I actually am going to buy this month's New York Magazine, and I'm figuring out how much I want to size this and then put this up. Oh, but I will put it up somewhere. Absolutely.
Terrible job by me, by the way, not having the graphic ready. Well, I'll get it before the end of the show so we can put it up before we get out of here. For anybody who doesn't know, Sean was featured in New York Magazine as he is on the, I should know this, on the preps. No, you turned 44.
Yes.
Okay. And apparently scientists have discovered that there are many slippery slopes in life in the aging curve. And that's the first major one. Did I get that right?
Yes. Okay. Aging hits us harder at distinct moments. The first time being 44. Okay. So I was part of a portrait series of what it shows 44 year olds. of all different colors, shapes, sizes, what have you. So,
well, we will check in with you periodically to see if that is an accurate scientific discovery. But more on that later. For right now, let us start with the takeoff.
2-1-0 ignition. Liftoff.
All right, Sean, I see your take here. I actually printed out the show sheet today because I'm a good producer slash host. Start us off with your take.
The New York Knicks are going to win the Eastern Conference, barring injury or a major trade by another team where another team gets a true second star, 1B or what have you. And I say this because I am enjoying myself watching the NBA community tie themselves and twist themselves into knots, trying to figure out which of these other Eastern Conference teams are better than the Knicks. And the answer is none of them. Mm-hmm. Not Detroit, not Toronto, not Orlando, with or without Franz, I don't care. And certainly not this week's flavor of the month, the Boston Celtics, because I have thoroughly enjoyed people trying to convince themselves that Boston is this now low-key contender and that the East is wide open. The East is not wide open. The best team in this conference are the Knicks. And I understand that you people are used to the Knicks not being good, so your default is to say, well, your default is to share or come up with reasons why the Knicks will not accomplish what they can accomplish, even to the point where maybe future friend of the show, Moldak Hill, on the Zach Lowe show, said when given his reason why he didn't want to pick the Knicks to come out the East, his reasoning was, wait a minute, it's the Knicks. Stand up, amazing analysis from Moldak Hill.
Well, it was a little bit more than that. It was also something always happens to the Knicks, which was like 8% better than it's the Knicks. But it was
which is just as lazy as something always happens. So again, the Knicks are winning the Eastern Conference. They're the best team in the conference. You can try to convince yourselves why these teams are better. They're not.
Jeff, do you have a response to this?
I don't want to derail the show. I'll just say that Sean, I co-sign with Sean. I don't think it'll be as easy as it is, but I recognize that the same graces that are given to other franchises are not given to the Knicks. And a general question to me is at what point, and you know, call us homers, call us whatever. I keep it real. And I'm somebody who's been monitoring this for the better part of a decade. You tell us the regular season doesn't matter, but it matters for some and not all. You tell us that certain key ingredients are needed to win in the league, in the conference. But when one team exhibits that, then you're looking for other reasons why. When the Knicks, the 2012-2013 Knicks, the second year Melo stat Knicks, we used to have a running bit online on Twitter. What's the reason the Knicks won? What's the reason why? What's the excuse for the Knicks winning today? Because after every win, there was an excuse. Oh, this team didn't have their whole squad, or it was a second game of a back-to-back, or, you know, when you play in New York and you spend the day before, everybody becomes a raging coke-sniffing degenerate, and they can't wake up for the game, and they're lethargic. So it's just hilarious that we've gotten back to this point. I think the bigger thing for me is accept that the team is good, y'all. By all measure, they've been a competent, top-class franchise for the better part of this decade. And it is about recent. Y'all can talk about history all you want. It's about recency.
All I heard was with the coke sniffing part was when you asked openly on last week's show if Lori Markkanen likes to go skiing, and now I can't think of anything else. And that's really unfortunate for me and for the show. I will just say, Sean, it's a good take, and I think people are having their takes because the Knicks don't look and feel like they think a front runner in a conference is supposed to look and feel. And thus they are making up reasons why the Knicks should not be considered the front runners in the conference. And yet, if you look at net rating, if you look at record, if you look at the fact they've won 7 of 8 games, like all the things point to the fact that the Knicks should be considered favorites, but they're not. This is going to dovetail with my take, which is that if you are a Celtics fan this season, you are officially in the middle of the most house money season for a sports fan this century, which is not to say, like Timmy Bontemps was saying on today's Hoop Collective, that the Celtics, if you squint a little bit, oh, Tatum comes back, maybe a threat in the playoffs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, based on the fact that they're third in the East and they are missing their best player, and there are absolutely no consequences whatsoever for this Celtics season. It's like this is gravy on top of gravy on top of icing, which wouldn't taste very good, which is what I hope happens to the Celtics in the playoffs. In any case, that's my take, which, Sean, I'm assuming you don't like, but that's what my take anyway.
No, I agree. They are house. This is the house money season because they lose. Well, we didn't have Tatum. But if they backdoor their way to like the conference finals, it's like we did as Von Tatum and we saw that Jaylen Brown went up another level. Yada, yada, yada. I mean, I still don't think Jason Tatum is playing a minute of basketball this year. I am prepared to be wrong about that, no matter all the stuff I hear. But yeah,
do I bet on it?
Do I want to bet on it?
What's your drink of choice? I forget.
This year it's been a Vesper Martini.
Okay, Vesper Martini for you. I'll just stick to old fashioned. Are we willing to put that on the line?
I will put that on the line.
Okay, great, done. I think that's I think Tatum's playing. I hope it doesn't make a difference. I'll leave it at that. All right, we got to get to our buy or sell. Jeff, what's your take?
Either the Magic or the Cavs are going to have to make an in-season trade in order to win the East.
In order to win the East?
If they really want to win, they're going to have to make an in-season trade. I don't know what the hell is happening to the Cavs. If this is just a slump, I'm not going to be prisoner of the current moment. But what is going on? What is going on over there? And Orlando, you know, hopefully Franz's injury isn't serious. I really hope it's not. But this Paolo and Franz thing is a thing, bro. Because that man left. Listen to this. The Knicks are 13-1 at home.
Yeah.
The one loss was to the Magic, who played three quarters of that game without Paolo Banchero, who went out in that game on his 23rd birthday with a groin injury. If you're going out with a groin injury on your birthday, that's not the way I don't think I would want to go out. You probably can do a lot more productive stuff with that groin.
Not at 23. I'm not 42. At 22, yeah. I can see a different kind of groin injury sidelining me on my birthday, not at 23.
Exactly. But then you flip it. First quarter, Franz goes out with the injury, and then from there, the Knicks pretty much in the second half took full control of that game with a fully healthy, functioning Paolo Banchero and Desmond Bane there as well. So I think now if Franz is out for an extended period of time, you are going to see folks that are heavy into analytics and people who've been tracking this, whether or not Paolo and Franz are fit and whether or not he's additive. And it sounds crazy, but there is enough smoke to say, hey, there might be a fire there. So I think, and this goes back to the whole Giannis thing, I feel like they should throw their hats into the ring.
I'll just say, so Paolo, he's not eligible to be traded this season because he just signed the Supermax. I'm fairly certain about that. That's what I'll trust Zach Lowe because he's right on his spot. That's a good take. If it was a hot take, like truly spicy, you would have said those teams are going to need to make an in-season trade to make the 6-team Eastern Conference playoff field. And not have to go through the play.
I'm not going
to
go that crazy. The way Cleveland's making me look crazy.
Yeah, but
they're actually making me look crazy. So.
Is it that crazy, Jeff? Because very quickly, we're going to buy ourselves. Knicks in, I think we agree. Detroit, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. In. They're probably going to get in.
Yeah,
Celtics, I mean, they're third right now. They're playing awesome. You could at least make the argument that the Celtics are going to be in. That's three teams right there. I'm especially high on the Heat. Sean hates me for it. That's fine. We'll have it out off camera. That's four teams. At least you could make an argument for. I haven't mentioned the Raptors. And then there's that only, you know, the Hawks getting Trey back. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know. I don't think it's insane if you were to say that only one of them would make the 16 playoff field if neither made an in-season trade. Maybe that's the way to phrase it. I don't know.
Yeah, I like that. I'm with that too. I just think the Cavs are gonna find a way. I have to hold out hope because they're making me look insane. But I think the Cavs will find the way. If I'm just hoping Franz isn't severely injured, that's really it. Like then the Magic have another out for another year. Quietly, this team's been injured every year. Quietly.
But, and how much does that have to do with the way they play basketball?
I mean, hey, man. How you keep them is the way you lose them.
Moving on to the first edition of NBA Takedown, buy or sell, where I am going to give you an NBA-related take, related stance, opinion, something or other, and you guys are going to either buy or sell that take. We did a fair amount of Knicks talk just now, so I'm going to save the Knicks one for a little bit from now. We are going to start with the king. He put on the crown last night, actually. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, did not see that.
You did not see him put on the crown? I was actually mad at myself because I did not watch most of this game. And I was like, all right, let me tune in for the last 5 minutes. The last 5 minutes of that game was the only thing I needed to watch. And here is why. All right. So LeBron James, in the last four minutes, really, of this game against the Philadelphia 76ers, 10 straight points. There was a long two threes, and then another long two. Nobody could hit the broadside of a barn, really, for the entire game, but especially down the stretch of this game, except for LeBron James. Austin Reeves had a terrible game. Luka Doncic was off. Joel Embiid couldn't hit anything. So LeBron James essentially won this game for the Los Angeles Lakers. It is, I would say, his first. Jeff's already shaking his head. It is LeBron's first really strong effort. He had a good game overall. I think he had like 29 points. His first strong effort since coming back. He is currently averaging 16 points, 7.6 assists. However, his efficiency is not even that it's a career low. It is by far a career low. The only one that is close is when he was 21 back in 2007. So buy or sell, LeBron James is still an all-star caliber player. Sean, I'm going to go to you first.
I'm going to sell. I think what you saw in that clip is apropos of the LeBron James experience this year, where he will have these runs, but they're not sustainable. We all saw how his streak ended against the Raptors, his streak of double-digit scoring, and basically he was just a role man for one Austin Reeves in a game where Luka Doncic did not play. I am literally looking at the standings, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could write down 12 players who are going to make the All-Star team above LeBron James. And yeah, I'm looking at the standings, and I'm only five teams in. I've wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players. So
keep working on your list. Jeff, are you buying or selling on this one?
I'm going to buy it because I think for the role that he needs to play on the Lakers, he's going to have the all-star caliber impact. Like, you're just asking him to be as unselfish as he's been for Luka, who's Luka, and Austin Reeves, who's emerged as a legit scoring threat. He just has to be the glue and the connectivity. He doesn't have to go full video game James. He can reserve that until the fourth quarter. Now, is it going to be more inconsistent as Father Time could finally starts to catch up? Finally starts to catch up after years and years of getting dusted? Yeah. Sure. But I do think in his role, the role that he's occupying now, he'll have the all-star impact. And by the way, this conversation is super moot because that man is getting into the all-star game.
Oh, there's no
question about it. If you want to talk about legitimate all-star, then it gets into a super nuanced, a detailed, nuanced, complex conversation. But what I will say is there's probably still at least half of the league that would rather this version of LeBron on their squad other than somebody else on their team. And I mean starters, not bench.
I'm on the fence, but since this is a show called NBA Takedown, I'm gonna side with you, Jeff. And I think this is an issue of, which means I'm buying him as still an all-star caliber player. I think there's an issue of perception versus reality. I think you're gonna look up at LeBron's numbers come all-star game, and it's gonna be similar to like short on the rebounds, maybe a little bit higher on the assists. I think it's going to be similar to like Domantas Sabonis over the last few years, who has made a couple all-star teams for Sacramento, not exactly known for his defense, but kind of was like the glue that held a lot of stuff together. Even if he's never been like the leading scorer on his team, that was always De'Aaron Fox or whoever else they, you know, brought in over the last few years. But I think if you're going to see a lot of people like media members fill out their ballots and leave LeBron James off of it because the perception is that it's LeBron James. He's been a 25 point per game scorer, 20 whatever point game scorer forever. So if he now falls down and he's at like 16 points, 17 points, 18 points, they're going to perceive that as a big drop off. But all it means is the role on his team has changed. And I think that does need to be factored in. Obviously, the efficiency needs to raise up. But if he changes his shot diet, he can't get to the rim as much anymore. Why should we hold that against him, you know?
So I think this is two questions here. Will he be an all-star, and is he playing at all-star caliber?
Yeah.
I am not sure that he is playing at all-star caliber simply because of the inconsistency that we're going to see between now and voting ends. So like there'll be days where he turns it up and then there's days where it's like, eh.
Okay.
In terms of voting, listen, if it was 100% fans picking the starters, he's getting in. Yeah. Yes. He's getting voted as a starter.
We know that.
But because now it's a mixture of the fans, the players and the media, like, so there are three front court spots, and one of them is going to Luka Doncic, and one of them is going to Victor Wembanyama. Whether he like, and who granted is not playing now, but I think he will be if he plays good for a month, he's getting it.
Like, I was about to say four time. He's not four time yet. The three time MVP,
Jokic.
You know what's funny? There you. So now put it to you like this: one of Kevin Durant.
Hold on, Luka might be in the. Luka might be considered a backcourt player for voting.
They're doing this again,
dude. Okay. It's the fucking ballot. They have to list the player in a section on the ballot.
Well, then listen. Between LeBron, Kevin Durant, Alperen Şengün, Victor Wembanyama, and Nikola Jokic, two of them are not going to be starters.
Hold on. Real quick, who starts for the Lakers? DeAndre Ayton, Rui Hachimura. They're both front court players.
I agree with you.
Reeves, Doncic, backcourt, LeBron, front court. That's it.
Okay, so again, between LeBron, Durant, Wemby, Luka, and Şengün, who would even talk about, and Jokic, three of them are not. Take Şengün out of here. He's not starting.
Yeah, we're talking about fan voting. Wemby, Jokic, SGA, you could argue that the fans will vote for them more than LeBron. Jeff, is that nuts?
Well, their thing. LeBron
is going to be up there in the, if I'm not mistaken, he's been top two in fan voting, I think, so, for like a
the
minute.
The guards are Steph and SGA, by the way. You can write that down in pen.
Steph and SGA, yes, done.
Those are the guards.
Actually, wait, no. Luka.
No, it's going to probably Luka and Shea.
Okay. Luka and SGA. Luka right. and SGA are going to be the guards.
All right, but let's
fan voting.
But LeBron is not a guard, so we're looking at front court. So, again, between Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, and Victor Wembanyama, one of those guys is not going to start.
It's probably not going to be Wembanyama.
I think LeBron will get voted as the top, will be in the top three of voting. But here's the thing. Durant might make it close. I would say Durant will be third. But if LeBron is like third in front court behind Wemby and Jokic, which I absolutely think is a possibility, mm-hmm. that might be enough to knock him from the start. Because again, like you said, it's only 50% fan vote, right?
Yes.
For starters.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's a real possibility this he's not going to, now that we're talking it out, there's a real possibility he's not an all-star this year.
It's very possible. Unless, I think if he's not voted in, there will be the, well, I don't want to say that. I was going to say it might be the commissioner's exception, if he said this is his last year, which he's not going to.
He's not going to say that, not beforehand. Yeah. I don't know. Look, it's early. He's just coming back. Let's check in on this in 2 weeks. All right, next buy or sell. Jeff, I'm going to start with you for this one. What the hell? We could have some fun. We'll do the next one now. Boogie Cousins was right when he said that OG Anunoby should have properly defended himself against Desmond Bane when Desmond Bane, for anybody who doesn't know, I what's the proper verb?
Through
beaned.
Yeah. It's beaned. He beaned OG Anunoby with the basketball just from a standstill position, not falling out of bounds in the game yesterday. Quote, this is from Boogie Cousins. I'm not saying punch him in the face, but maybe slap the shit out of him. End quote. Jeff, what say you? Buying or selling that Boogie is right?
I'm going to say in a vacuum, Boogie is right. In a vacuum.
Yes.
I believe I'm officially going to step away from commenting on what Nick should do when conflict arises because...
Continue.
It's two mentalities. I'm not going to say it's two Americas because it's not really a two America situation, but it's just maybe it's the two generations mentality. I've spoken and Sean and we've had this conversation ad nauseum about what happened at last year's NBA Cup quarterfinals when Trae Young dice rolled on their logo. And I had to hear from Knicks fans who act as if folks told Jalen Brunson to pull out a gat and shoot Trae Young in his head like he's Tommy from Power. And instead of just trying to properly defend.
Or just to
do something.
Confront.
Because confrontation is a zero-sum game where it's either you punch a motherfucker in the face or you say, well, sir, I didn't appreciate that type of aggression that was presented towards my way. Which is pretty much what OG did.
He did it.
And you know what? I'll backtrack. I think Boogie was wrong because that was single-handedly one of the most ridiculous things I've seen. And I think even OG realized it in a moment where he was laughing and incredulous at the same. Like the push was his body telling him, yo, you got to do something. You have to do something to show that this isn't right. And he pushes him and he laughs and pushes him. He's like, yo, what are you thinking? Right? Which to me shows that OG at least subconsciously agrees that when you are aggrieved in some way on the court, something should be done to show that you disapprove other than just walking away. Right? So I don't think, I mean, if OG's not that dude, And I'll come back to that. If OG's not that dude, then I don't think you should act outside of it. That's why back in the day you had enforcers that would be able to defend you. That's why offensive linemen go crazy when their quarterback gets hit. Regardless of whether it was close or was blatant, they go crazy because they are paid to protect their quarterback. If you don't have those type of guys that are doing that, then cool. But I do think something should be shown because you got to protect yourself. And if Bane is able to bean you, exactly.
Ain't no more guys like this in the league.
No. It don't pay. They make too much money.
I'm holding up Charles Oakley's book entitled
The Less. They make too much money. There's too many considerations and everybody's cool with each other. Which you saw after the game, OG and Bane, they were cool. And OG was still talking to him after the game like, yo, bro, what happened? What happened? So I'll say Boogie's comment was outdated, but I get where he's coming from. I think something should have happened. I think what OG did was fine. I think what he did was fine because I think he was still startled.
Yeah.
And I think that was like appropriate for the moment. Slapping him means you're going to get kicked out. You're going to get suspended. You're going to lose money. And then at the end of the day, it's like, that's where I'm like, all right, it was too far. But other than that, I think you do something. I don't think slapping him is what you do.
Sean?
I'm selling. To Jeff's point, if he slaps him, that is at minimum a 3-game suspension, probably 5. Obviously loss of money. And yeah. it will be the lead story on First Take. First things first, speak for yourself. Good Morning America, the Today Show, because unfortunately, and I understand why he did it. And that's, you want to talk about a two Americas situation, but David Stern ushered in this era of, if you do anything at all in any type of altercation, we will throw the book at you, because we as a country get very scared when large black men get into altercations with each other. And we act like it's, to Jeff's point, that someone's going to pull out the Ruger and just air the place out. So I would have just like, I to Jeff's point, I think OG's response was appropriate within the limits of not losing money or games played. Maybe I would have like grabbed his shirt like this, like, what are you doing? But other than that, I mean, you can't like, but Boogie, you couldn't even do that when you played. Like what Boogie's saying is something from an era that is, but like,
it's from the 80s.
Bygone era.
Yeah,
before. It's from Bill Laimbeer, you know, Pistons, Bulls, Celtics, you know, all that shit.
Now, I do believe that they should, I think more fighting should be allowed in the NBA. I believe that, listen, because honestly, the thing is, when you let players settle it on the court, it gets settled. Like in hockey, you know what? Yeah. We did this, we did that, we dropped the ball.
I was about to say, but there has to be a goon spot. Like there's the 15 roster spots, there's the 3 2-way spots, and then there's the 1 goon spot. That's the only way that that's happening, because there just aren't enough roster spots to have that sort of player in the league at that point.
Just let them shoot the fair one and for like 30 seconds. And and the funny thing, after that happens, it's settled. But no, what we do is don't do anything. So it simmers and it simmers and it simmers. And it's, oh, we're going to play them again in 3 months. And then they like, whatever.
Not to mention, I think they actually have a relationship. Like, I think they're actually cool. So even more so, OG was like, what the hell? Now, what I'm waiting for, John, is when brothers get into an altercation. What happens then? Like, if you're his teammate, do you step in? Or does everybody got to throw up their heads like, hey, that's family? Or do you have the one teammate that's like, I don't care, he's my brother. On the court, he's my brother. He's not related to you.
I thought you were meant literal brothers with like Franz and Mo Wagner, but
that's what I mean. Like if the Thompson twins get into a scuffle, do you break it up? Are you supposed to break it?
No, you can't.
You gotta let them scuffle, right?
That's family business.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's family business. I just want to say we're 3 for 3 on selling. If OG did anything and he got thrown out of the game and the Knicks would have lost the game, I would have been pissed off, mostly because I would have needed to deal with a lot of angry people on the post game. And the only other thing I would say is that for something like that, like he threw a basketball off him, which, as you noted, Jeff, was so ridiculous that he was laughing as he was pushing him. where I want my player to potentially get, you know, fined or I was about to say expelled, ejected from the game, is in response to what happened to Mitch against the Sixers
a couple
years ago, where a player is intentionally trying to injure your guy. If I don't know who it would have been on that, Nick, Isaiah Hartenstein.
No, Dante got in his face for that.
And good job. And after he went and got in Miles Turner's face in the very next round.
Yeah.
We missed Dante here. But like whoever it is, like that's excusable because someone's trying to hurt your guy. The basketball thing was stupid, and it is what it is. So.
The guy in the New York Knicks to do that, honestly, is Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, yeah. Dude, there's going to be a situation where Clarkson's going to have to square up with somebody.
I've seen Clarkson square up. I've seen him square up on an NBA court before.
It's like a meme. Like, people have been like, yo, when is Jordan Clarkson squaring up with somebody? I'm like, I don't know, but it's probably coming down soon.
He's got a little bit of the Bobby Portis crazy eyes. Mm-hmm. A little bit. Slightly. That's who we need back. We need Bobby back. All right. Next up, which way should we go? We'll save the positive one for next. Let's skip down to Jonathan Kuminga. So I'm just going to give you a quick layout of this one. Jeff's shaking his head. Oh, my God.
Kuminga.
The Warriors had a 32-point win over the Chicago Bulls, we're going to get to them in a minute as well. In Chicago, no Steph, no Draymond. Kuminga was coming off of a 1-for-10 game. I'll just put up the quote. Jonathan Kuminga was a DNP. He did not get off the bench. He's not injured. He just didn't play against the Warriors. This is Steve Kerr asked about it after the game. Why didn't Kuminga get off the bench? Here we go.
Just got to keep going, just like everybody else who's in this position. And it happens to everybody, you know, pretty much, other than the stars. You know, guys come in and out of the rotation depending on, you know, who's available, how the team's playing.
So Steve Kerr was basically like, nothing to see here. He went on to say that Jimmy Butler coming back off of injury, it's about how the players fit together. That's part of why Kuminga didn't get in the game. He was asked how Jonathan Kuminga took the news when he told him. And he said, quote, all that stuff is private. To elaborate. And then last but not least, Jonathan Kuminga is trade eligible, not on December 15th. I should double check this. I'll double check it right now, but I'm fairly certain he's trade eligible on January 15th, which maybe makes this question a little bit easier. Sean, I'm going to you first. Are you buying or selling that Jonathan Kuminga has played his last game in Golden State?
His last game? I will sell only because simply when you have a team like the Geriatric State Warriors who are going to miss people from time to time, I think saying that he will not play a game between now and January 15th, and I'm double checking not to see what if that's the case.
January 15th. January 15th.
Yeah. Yes, but I will say this. If Steve Kerr could not play him another minute of this regular season in a Golden State uniform, he will. And let this be a cautionary tale to all people who believe that development above everything. And when you talk about how your team doesn't develop young guys because they can't stand him, and they have not been able to stand him for the years, and the contract he signed in the offseason basically told the entire league he's going to be here for 1 year. We've signed his contract, so we will get something for him. And that's that.
Jeff?
I didn't know if that was Steve Kerr or Kevin Stefanski. Boy, oh boy. You want to talk about doing the waltz. He looked like Fred Astaire out there dancing over around that topic. Well, you know, these things happen. You put the Bulls in the 30-30 club and he couldn't get a run. He couldn't even get garbage time run. Not even garbage time run because of fit. The West is big, man. Is that what you're telling me? The West is big, man. What? Yeah, man. What are we saying?
You're buying or selling?
I'm gonna sell it. Yeah, he has to because no. What did he do? This is when you go on Warriors. When you talk to Warriors fans, like the real Warriors fans, and you understand why they've been railing against Kerr for the better part of 2 or 3 years. From the outside looking in, you're like, oh, it's Steve Kerr. But now I am seeing what they have seen, what they were talking about, right? Like, I can understand now when you drill down into rotations and schemes and philosophies and all this type of stuff, it's just like, bro. And it's not like Kuminga is some, like, top 50 talent, but
Wait, hold on, you can't throw that out there and then just, are we sure he's not a top 50 talent? Now, listen,
okay,
these
player,
are weird.
Because I don't want to get into it.
Yeah,
I'm
no, 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 okay, player, top 50 player, sure.
That's debatable. The top 50 talent is debatable. Yes. Top 50 player, I don't think is.
No, he's not.
Right? So, top 50 player, right? So, but still, it's like, what would be like the equivalent? That would be like Dean Wade not getting run on the Cavs, right? Oh, or like Ron Holland or not getting run on the Pistons.
No, it'd be like Jaden Ivey not
Jaden
getting
Jaden Ivey,
run
okay. Like yeah, Ivey, yeah. I like that. I like that. Yeah. I'm just trying to, or one I was about to say, oh, Boston. Pick one, Nemias Keita or somebody. Well, he starts, right? He starts. Walsh or Minot not getting burned. Like, what are we doing? And when they need him, especially.
Listen, he was drafted 7th. Yeah. Like, I think Keita is about, honestly, it was like Reed Shepard last year, who just wasn't like not being played.
But there was a difference because there was no discontent between Reed and the Rockets. This is all the history. And then you add on to the fact that he's the last remnant of the two timeline, not the last remnant of the two timelines bullshit, but like Wiseman gone. Moody hasn't quite worked. I mean, no offense. Moody hasn't quite worked out. Pajemski's still there, in fairness. But he's not. I don't know, maybe. You know what? I stand corrected. I was about to say, no one thinks Brandon Pajemski is going to be an all-star someday. Nobody outside of Brandon Pajemski thinks Brandon Pajemski is going to be an all-star someday.
On that team.
The funniest thing of all, and is the last thing, and we'll move on from this, the Bulls have been rumored to potentially be a Jonathan Kuminga trade destination in the past. Right. How funny would it be if the Warriors sat him out of that game so the Bulls scouts just didn't get shit on him there last night.
That's cutting off your nose to spite your face, but whatever. yeah, man.
He was a restricted free agent, right?
Yeah, he was restricted.
He was a restricted free agent, yeah.
They had to bring him back.
All right, we got another audio clip. Next buy or sell has to do with Jalen Beijing Brown. Ready for this? That's his name, right, Sean?
Yes. The Beijing King.
The Beijing, that's it. The Beijing King.
5 in a row.
Shout out to JB.
10 in the last 12. Getting to it. Third place in the East, man. Shout out to JB.
First team all NBA, bro.
Hey. 38-5. Shout out to
JB. First team.
27-4-5.
First team.
He holding it down, bro.
First team.
All right. That's Jeff Teague, former one-time All-Star, right? Jeff Teague?
I think he was one of the Hawks.
Yeah, he was an All-Star on that Hawks team. So he has enough clout to have a podcast, so congratulations to him. he says, Jalen Brown should be first-team All-NBA. A couple of stats, and then Jeff is up, I think, right? Highest usage of any wing in the league. Highest assist percentage of any wing in the league who's played at least 500 minutes. Averaging 29, 6, and 5. Only him, Jokic, and Luka surpass all of those numbers, albeit Jokic and Luka are higher with rebounds and assists considerably. However, Jalen Brown, the thing that has dogged him for years and what I think has potentially influenced All-NBA voters in the past is his advanced stats are often not great, and specifically some of the on-off stuff. And lo and behold, despite the fact that the Celtics are very good, maybe because of the fact that the Celtics are very good, could argue that too, Jalen Brown is still barely a negative player when it comes to on-off this year, despite all the numbers and everything else and the Celtics having the record that they are or they have. So, who did I say? Who's first up?
Jeff? Me? Yeah. So buy or sell that Brown is first team
All-NBA.
I'll say that I'm going to sell this for throughout the course of a season because I think that he's on a heater right now. I think he's been on an All-NBA first team run as they've claimed that top three spot. I'm going to sell it primarily because when I dig into the numbers, right, like you said, 29-6-5.
It's good.
Technically, you round it up, those assists, right? Unless you were looking somewhere else, because I looked at NBA
stats. He's 4.9.
So I understand. Not being a pedantic asshole, you go up to five. But when you filter by four assists, like greater than four, and they don't have it to do it with that. I wasn't going to go to decimals or whatever. You get a lot more players in that spread, like Shea, like Donovan Mitchell, like Tyrese Maxey, right? Like you get those guys in there. And then when you start to look at, okay, how do they compare in all the other the statistics, if you're looking at straight counting, he more often than not is like the fourth or fifth best player in a group of like, or second last or second to last in a group of like six plus players. So I think it's an argument. I'll say that. It's an argument. But when I think of that All-NBA first team right now, I'm thinking Luka's up there, Jokic is up there, Shea. You know, the international triangle of doom, right?
Guaranteed.
Right.
If those guys play 65 games, their first team All-NBA, and it would be a fourth, except he's not going to qualify for games played now with Giannis.
Right, right, exactly. So yeah, Giannis is not making 65. I mean, is Wemby going to make 65? Right? Like that's another question, but the three. But I look at current form. I think you do got to put Cade Cunningham up in there. In first team All-NBA is in terms of current form and whatever this season and the record for his team. Then when you go to the fifth, I think it's like a wide range of people, but I don't know if he's going to make first team All-NBA. I think they're going to have a unprecedented level of success in relation to where people thought they were going to be. And he's going to have to maintain this to get that. But so far, I think he's having a fantastic season. I think we expected it from him, but I don't think that, I think it's debatable, but I'm going to sell.
I respect it. Sean?
I'm selling. Get out of here. to your point, like Jokic, you know what's funny? Maybe under the old system where it was not positionless.
No, we're not talking about that, though.
No, I'm saying maybe if there was, they could have. Because the funny thing with Jaylen Brown is like they like to play shenanigans what position he plays, whether it's shooting guard or small forward. So they would try to play shenanigans. Well, they would play because you know the Boston media runs the world. They would put him at they would probably put him at guard because I think again at no at forward because I think at guard to your point, Luka's a lock, SGA's a lock.
Yeah, so they put he's played a little center at times this year technically for Boston. So he is a front court player this year.
This year I just had this in front of me. I think he's played 77% of his minutes at small forward.
Pritchard and White are their starting guards. I mean, he's a front court player this year. So yes, but moving forward.
But yeah, but to listen, like I said, but now with it being positionless and you can pick any five guys, again, Jokic is if they reach 65 games, Jokic is a lock, SGA is a lock, Luka's a lock. Wemby can only miss seven more games or he's finished. But if he plays 65, he's a lock. We spoke about Maxey. I think Maxey is more of a lock over Jaylen Brown, but then again, we know how the Boston media machine works. But I'm not buying this. Now get out of here.
Did you mention Anthony Edwards?
I didn't even mention Anthony Edwards. I didn't even mention him.
That's the person that was like in the back of my mind. I could not remember. But yeah,
I didn't mention Shangoon. I didn't mention Austin Reeves.
Like, didn't even mention Jalen Brunson. For me, I have to come down to Cade, Brunson, and Brown. I could, you know what? As are we doing it so far this season, right? that he's all first team All NBA so far this season? That's where buying or selling, right?
So far this season, no. Like, the first half of the season also exists. Like, so we just can't decide, oh, let's just look at the last. And listen, I'm someone who has money on Jaylen Brown to average 30, Jaylen Brown to lead league in scoring.
You do.
So, and it's funny because he's like, he's averaging like 29.76. God bless the NBA and their and their rules. But I think at this point, I can't say, listen, if he keeps this up and he's starts, now, if he's averaging 30 points a game and that's they're the like the three and they're the top four,
and
seed,
the three, yeah,
yeah,
it's that,
then yes,
the tough part. And I really hate to do this. Like, if it's a tie between him and Brunson right now, the game that they went head to head, the second game they went head to head is like, it is kind of out there. The first game was a little bit of a different story. So I don't know. I'll sell it for right now. Before I move on to our last two takes, I just want to shout out. We have over 1,100 people watching right now. Shout out to all of you joining us in the middle of your day. If you want to help out the show before we finish up, if anybody's watching over on Twitter, go over to the NBA Takedown YouTube page and subscribe and follow on there. Put on alerts, the whole thing, because that really helps out the show, to say nothing of following wherever you get your podcasts. Last two takes. Sean, we're going to you. I'm going to let you pick. You want to do the Cam Whitmore one or the Bulls one?
Do the Bulls one.
All right, here we go. So this is a graphic from Steph Noah, who has covered the Bulls for a while. Actually, I think he may cover the NBA, but I feel like I see him tweeting out the Bulls. 7-game losing streak, longest in the NBA for the mighty Chicago Bulls. They have lost to the Pelicans, the Hornets, the Pacers twice, the Magic, the Nets, and now the Warriors without Steph Curry, Draymond Green, or Jonathan Kuminga. Vooch called the team soft last night, said they're not playing to NBA standards. And according to Steph, boy, was he right. Are you buying or selling, Sean, starting with you, that the Bulls, in a league that contains the Clippers, the Kings, said Pelicans, who am I forgetting, Nets, that the Bulls are the true saddest story of the NBA for doing this to their fans?
I'm going to sell, simply because if you bought those magic beans of that 5-0 start, you deserve whatever you get. Because as we covered on this show a few weeks ago, Jeff, say it with me, they are who
we thought they were. They were.
So,
Jeff, I just want to clarify something. Doing this to their fans does not necessarily mean selling them hope and then pulling the rug out from under their feet. You could also interpret it to mean being good enough that you're not going to be in the running for a top lottery pick and being perpetually the 10th team in the Eastern Conference. But Jeff, I'll go to you.
The Clippers, the 25-26 Clippers exist. The Sacramento Kings for however many years exist. I can't call them the saddest story. And you know why I won't even call them the saddest story? Because their fans didn't buy it.
Okay.
I know Bulls fans, and, yeah, and it's not the anecdotal bullshit. I know Bulls fans that people refer to like one person to say, I know Bulls fans. I know Bulls fans. I hate that.
Plural.
The Bulls fans in my life say, da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like, and it's two irrational motherfuckers. Like, come on, man. Anyway, so from the Bulls fans that I know anecdotally, and that what I've seen all the time, it's been the same. It's been a general narrative. Don't do this to me, please. If we're going to tank, I do not believe this. Talk to me in December. Talk to me in January. Then I'll tell you if it's real. So they wasn't buying it, right? And now they're like on the outside looking in of the playing picture.
I think they're still 10th. Milwaukee
moved ahead of them.
They're 11.
Okay. That's my bad. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
That's my bad.
So that might be sad because they're going to lose their playing sponsorship. So I don't know where that revenue is going to come from.
Give it time. Give it time. Death
taxes, Bulls 10th seed, right? So,
yes.
So yeah, I'm not gonna say that it's a sad story in the NBA. What's going on with the Clippers? What's going on in Inglewood is nuts.
I'm selling for now, But to throw it back to something that came up briefly last week, if the Bulls trade any number of unprotected first round picks for Anthony Davis, then they become the saddest story in the NBA.
Mm.
They vault ahead of the Clippers. They vault ahead of the Kings. They vault ahead of whoever else you want to say.
Hey, better not.
I will say my nomination for this award would have been for the Brooklyn Nets, who have now resorted to crying about Mikal Bridges not defending them on the latest on the Thanksgiving episode of the Roommates podcast.
That's a thing that happened.
Oh, you what? Yes.
I'm sorry. I must have been asleep for that.
Well, they what happened was on the Thanksgiving episode, Josh and Jalen were basically talking about, they brought up Mikal's first appearance of the show where they basically made fun of Brooklyn and the Nets franchise, and they didn't defend, and Mikal didn't defend them. The Nets fans got their underwear in a bunch that time, and now they're doing that, and I've seen tweets about this makes my anger for the Knicks rise again, and they're corny, and they're this, then the third, and they're entitled, and da-da-da-da-da. Meanwhile, I was told, these are the same people who told me there would be multiple parades down Flatbush, so
gotcha.
The Nets will always be a sadder story.
There was one for the Liberty.
But again, when you're the third most popular professional basketball team in New York and not the most professional basketball team in your own building.
They might be fourth.
Oh, my God.
They are fourth.
I saw them doing, I think, a halftime. The Harlem Globetrotters were on my television at some point in the last several days. I forget what NBA game I was watching, but they were on.
History.
Oh, much
more global notoriety.
You know,
actual NBA. Some of the first NBA black players,
yes,
were a member of the Globetrotter. Wilt Chamberlain was a Globetrotter.
And honestly, they will.
I mean, Julius was a member of the Nets.
I'll give him that. Yeah. I'll give him that. Dr. J was a Net.
Yeah,
and they won a title with the Sixers.
And they'll probably outdraw.
They sold him.
They'll probably outdraw them in their own building.
Yes. All right. We got to get out of here. Last take very briefly. We could make this a rapid fire take. On the, I was about to say the anniversary, on what has been an interesting weekend for talented but enigmatic cams in or formerly of the NBA. Sorry.
You can rest now, brother. You can rest now.
Dude, that text when I got, I was like, I feel so seen. This is from Grant Abseth. The Washington Wizards have concerns about Cam Whitmore's practice habits and day-to-day work. Quote, inside the organization, the concern has been day-to-day work. Amid a 3-19 start, not a typo, Washington has emphasized establishing firm practice habits and a consistent approach across its young roster, and Whitmore has not consistently met those expectations. You don't say. Buying or selling, Jeff, I'm coming to you first. Cam Whitmore is a, how do I phrase this? Just buying or selling. Cam Whitmore is going to be in the league in 2 years. Buying or selling?
Not if he doesn't do the business of the league.
That's buy or sell, sir. One word.
He's going to,
in the NBA in 2 years, I'll buy it.
I think he's talented enough. He just can't act like he's a top 10 player. I mean, he's going to refuse to practice or whatever. But then at the same time, if you got players in your org, you're 3-19 and they not with your program, you're going to have to make a statement. Like the Wizards are going to have to cut him or do something like that or get him out. And then we'll see if it's just he wasn't trying to be in Washington or he's not cut for the business of the league. But I'll buy it. I think he's too talented to be out.
Sean?
I'll buy it also. I think he will get to a second contract, whatever that the number of that second contract will not be one that he is will not be a number that he'll be happy with. But you know, shout out to our man Cedric Sean. He always says, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't want to work hard. And that is what we are seeing with Mr. Cam Whitmore. But people will be tantalized by his talent, because listen, you could have asked this question about Cam Reddish in the 2022 season.
Yeah.
And someone would be like, he might not be in the league in 2 years, and he lasted four before leaving. So he will be in the league in 2 years, but it's not looking – something got to change, or else, to your point, like, your talent can only take you so far.
I'll just say, like, I hear what both of you all are saying. If he gets released by the Wizards – where's the team that's going to be like, we'll take a shot?
Man, there's a team that plays on 33rd Street and 7th Avenue that could absolutely, who needs to win on the margins any way they can, that's a meeting.
But that's a 10-day. That's what that is. That's a 10-day.
Okay.
Like, I'm saying, we will give you a tour of the building. Of the world's most famous arena. We'll give you a pin. We'll give you a pennant. We'll give you a free bucket of popcorn. That's a 10-day.
Somebody will sign him to more than a 10-day. I'll tell you that right now.
I might have to bet you another beverage on that.
Again, he's freaking 21. He's 21. I don't think he's on like 10-day status yet. I think that's like, that was like Isaiah Thomas, not Isaiah Lord Thomas, but Isaiah Thomas, yes. Like a few years ago, like that. He's not nowhere near that level.
Didn't I see that Isaiah Thomas wants to get back in the league? Not the guy who ran the Knicks. He thinks he's accepted.
I hope he does get one more run.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen, but the way he got screwed in Boston.
Well, that was, the league should like, I don't know.
There should be some protections against that, because
that was messed up. But
he's gotten little stints here and there, but I would just hope that he could get one more legit run. He might just be the moment might have just passed him by. Like, the league might have just passed him by, just in terms of like his height and all of that. So
that wasn't even a you got to fire your agent, like Nerlens Noel. You know, I'm trying to think who else. Dennis Schroeder. Like, that wasn't one of those. That was just a bad timing. Bad
oh, luck. They got me.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yes, yeah, it's just timing. Like, it was just awful.
All right. I don't want to end on a down note, but like, yeah, that's it for today. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Can we end on an up note?
What is it?
What's something uplifting that we can mention before we go out?
Desmond Bain, I don't hate you, bro. You made a matinee game. You literally woke the crowd up, because the crowd was just like, all right, you know, the Knicks are winning. Like, this is all right. And you just woke the crowd. You gave the crowd something to invest in at the end of the game. Cause it was very much that afternoon. We not woken up yet. Like, and then the fans had somebody to root against.
And you know what? That's important. We need that here in New York, because the number one enemy, Joel Embiid, isn't a relevant NBA player anymore. So we need a new enemy to actually
bait for beating OG. What were you cooking, bro?
It's not the first time he's done this year.
And that was the more polite version of what he's done. The one against the Hawks was.
You know what? This has been a wild NBA season from top to bottom. And this just adds to it. All right. This was great. This was fun. Our first edition of Buy or Sell won't be the last one. Jeff, last.
Thank you for watching. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for always tapping in with us. And excited to talk about the rest of the league for the rest of the season and beyond.
Giddy up. Sean, last word from you.
Paolo Banchero is Julius Randle. Better PR. And I'm proven right with every passing day. And Orlando Magic fans, you could put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I'm sure they're smoking something today after that game. Prayers up for Franz. I hope I haven't seen the news yet. I hope everything's okay with him. He seems like a good dude. All right. Thanks everybody out there for checking out another episode of NBA Takedown. I will say it again. If you dig the show, but you are following along on Twitter, do us the favor, take the extra step, follow us wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, whatever. If you are so inclined to give us a nice rating or review, that helps us out even more. And of course, subscribe to NBA Takedown on YouTube, where we are continuing to build up. I think we're kind of getting somewhat close to 2,000 subscribers on there. So help us reach that number. That would be really awesome. Until next time, we'll be back on Wednesday with a fresh show. On behalf of Jeff and Sean, I am Jonathan Macri. Enjoy the start of your week.
Globetrotters in Brooklyn, February 15th.